Hello, hello! You are listening to CPA Career Path Podcast with Rosie Flaherty, CPA MSA. This is episode number 29. We have a special guest today, Lindsay Stevenson, CPA CGMA, Chief Transportation Officer at BPM. Lindsay, thank you so much for the interview today. I met Lindsay at AICPA Engage Conference in June 2023, and she's just amazing. And I was like, can you please on my interview podcast? And she just very happy to accept my invitation. And now she is today. So Lindsay, can you just introduce me a bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Well, first, Rosie, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here, and you are too kind. And it was awesome to get to meet you in person at Engage this year. Hopefully, I'll get to see you again next year. Little bit about myself. I'm the Chief Transformation Officer at a large firm, BPM, primarily West Coast footprint, but we have staff and colleagues all over the globe. Which is pretty exciting. And I have a wonderful husband and three fantastic boys.
Three boys? Oh my gosh. How old are they?
I have my oldest is 22 and my middle son is 20 and my littlest is 10. So we're just doing it all over again.
Wow, that's, you must be a very busy mom. I'm just wondering at the very beginning, before you become a very busy mom and a famous accountant, how did you end up with an accounting major in college?
Well, you know, I did things backwards. So it was actually after I was a mom. So I found out I was pregnant when I was 18 years old. And so I thought that I was going to be this Broadway musical star and maybe a cardiologist. And I was going to do both of those at the same time because that seemed totally reasonable to 18-year-old me. And then I found out that I was going to be a mom first. And so I thought maybe those two careers weren't really conducive to also being a mother at the same time. So I took a year off. I had my son right before I turned 19, took a year off, didn't really know what to do with myself and decided that I probably better at least get educated. So I applied to community college. And so I started my journey there and was taking night classes because I worked full time because I had a kid to support now. So I was trying to juggle all that. And one of the community college classes, just to get your regular AA degree, was accounting 101. And that was taught by an incredible professor who was working in the industry during the day and teaching at night. And he said, you know, maybe you should look into this as a possibility. There's a lot of flexibility and you seem to get it. And I said, I don't know, numbers are pretty boring. I don't know if this is what I really want to do. So I got through my AA degree and I ended up going to Gonzaga University for to finish my bachelor's and met some just really great professors there that continued to nurture that desire to have an impact and sort of changed my mindset around accounting. But it really did start out as being able to be flexible and be a mom, but also have a career where it could grow and develop. So yeah, it was accidental and stumbled upon. I definitely, not a Kimberly Ellison Taylor story where from a kid I wanted to become a CPA. That was definitely not me. But in my older life as a mom, I thought this was probably the career that would allow me to do both and still grow professionally. So that's where I landed.
It must be very challenging when you had a little boy and then went to college at the same time. How did you balance that, and how long did it take you to finish college?
So I mentioned I took a year off, so I started a year later than my normal cohort that I graduated with from high school. And I am very lucky to have an incredible mom who was really, really supportive and helped me out a lot. A lot of weekends spent at my mom's house doing homework while she watched my kiddos. I had my second son when I was 21 and I was in my first year of my bachelor's degree. So I'd gotten my AA out of the way and then I decided to add another kid because, you know, why shouldn't it be harder than it already was? And so just between family support and a lot of professors, I will say, you know, for any of you that are looking at private universities, I was really nervous about going to Gonzaga because it's a private Jesuit school. And I was a young unwed mother and probably didn't fit the protocol for the typical student, and actually brought my son was 2 months old when classes started, my second son, and I brought him to school with me quite often, and they were amazing. I had a finance professor that would hold my son while he gave lectures. I had team members that would rock my son while we were working on projects and I needed to be the one typing or doing the PowerPoint. I just had a lot of awesome community support in trying to get through that time. And so, yeah, it was a challenge. I worked full time too. So, you know, it was definitely a challenge to manage things, but you just sort of set priorities and you keep moving towards your target. And eventually it just kind of works out. So I graduated in time. I graduated in 4 years, but it was technically 5 years after I graduated from high school because I took a year off. So I was able to get it done and get through it.
Oh my God. You have two little boys. And then you work full time, and then you went to college full time, and you still graduate in 4 years, because doesn't count as 5 years, you took 1 year off. That's amazing.
It was, wow. It was crazy. I will tell you that now in my like second adult life, I often, you know, when I get really busy or stressed out, I'll think, okay, this is nothing, right? It was so much harder back then. This is nothing. I'm fine. I have time. We're okay. So from that perspective, it actually has been really great as I've gone on professionally to put things in perspective. That was much harder to do than anything I'm doing now, for sure.
Wow. So when you were in college, you said you work full time. Did you work in a accounting position at that time, or you work in different positions?
Yeah, I was really lucky. So when I was doing my associate's degree, it was definitely not accounting. I think I worked at Hollywood Video for a year, which was actually super fun, but definitely not in accounting. And then my ex-mother-in-law from my first husband, so my mother-in-law there is an accountant, and she said, hey, I think there's a CPA firm that maybe would be willing to hire if you wanted to talk to them. And it was a small firm. Two CPAs that were both sole proprietors, but they shared the same space. One of them shockingly agreed to hire me in my first year of my bachelor's degree work, and was amazing and really worked around my schedule, my class schedule. So sometimes I would go to class in the morning, come and work, go back to class, come back and work. And they were just super, super supportive. So I did get the luxury of being able to work in accounting before I actually had my accounting degree, which really helped me understand what I was getting into. It was small tax practice. And I didn't know the difference between a debit and a credit when I started there. I didn't understand a trial balance. I couldn't understand why I was out of balance, right? Because I would put in, you know, income should be positive, And expenses should be negative. And so, you know, the signs are all backwards and you have no idea what's going on when you're first starting out. And so that experience really helped me figure out the applicability of everything I was learning in school, how it actually applied to helping clients and doing meaningful work. So yeah, I was lucky, very lucky.
Wow. And so after you graduate from college and then you work as a full-time job, like completely just full-time job only, do you still continue that job, or you left and then work at another firm?
Oh, I've been everywhere, Rosie. It's been quite a journey, a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe the word is a twisting creek or river. But I left. So I was at that job until I graduated. And then, you know, when you go through, I'm sure any number of your audience will know, as you get to your junior year in your accounting degree, there's this whole recruiting craze, right? So you have all these firms and all these businesses that are looking for their next accountants, and they come to the university campus and they interview all these students, and pretty soon you have offers coming in and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with your life. And so I did a number of those. I went to second interviews with all the Big Four. Accounting, for those of you that are not already accounting majors, the Big Four, we call that the biggest four firms in the country. So I went and interviewed with them. And what I figured out back in my day, so this was 20 years ago, so it's not going to probably be the same for you, but they used to recruit only for audit. And audit involved then a lot of travel. There was not really remote work, was not a thing when I was graduating from college. So a lot of travel, and I had two young kids. And so I had a lot of concern around whether or not I'd be able to do that. And I was really worried about it. And I had a tax professor at Gonzaga that I told that I was really worried about it. And he actually found a firm in Arizona that he had worked with previously in his life before academia and said, I think they would be real interested in talking to you and hiring you in tax. And back in the day, you did not work in tax unless you had a master's in taxation, which I did not have. So it was like a really cool thing for me to be able to interview with this firm and have an opportunity to work in tax, which did not require any travel. And so I actually took a role with them. So I moved from Washington State, where I graduated, down to Arizona as soon as I graduated and started with a large local firm down there who was amazing and great. Did my first, I don't even know now, it's been so long, 2 or 3 years there in tax. And then my life was changing and things were shifting. I was going through a divorce, if I'm being fully candid. And there was a small firm an hour and a half north in another town. And I knew a partner that had left my current firm and gone there. And I reached out to him and said, do you have any opportunities? And he said, yes. So I went to that small local firm. I worked in tax. I worked a lot. They were amazing, incredible to me. I love the partners there. We had a really great team, but I definitely burnt myself out. Didn't know what to necessarily do and knew I needed a break. And also had a kid and got my CPA in that time. So there was like all this other stuff happening for me. And I was driving an hour and a half to work a lot. And so I took a break and worked for a couple of other CPA firms locally. Nothing really stuck. I missed my firm. And so I reached back out to him and said, can I do audit instead and come back to you? And they were like, yeah, come back and do audit. So I went back to that firm and I did audit. But once you do tax, you don't ever get to leave. So then I went and did audit and tax. And so that's how I spent most of my career up until 2015. And so that was the public accounting part of my life. And in 2015, I really felt passionate about the profession and that I felt like there needed to be more innovation, more creativity, more focus on the firm transformation and business models. And so I went to a number of CPA firms and said, this is what I'd like to do. And they said, that's great, but you also have to serve clients. And I felt like I couldn't do both. So I had like a total midlife crisis. Told my husband that I didn't know where I fit in the accounting profession because I didn't think I felt I fit in compliance work anymore. So I left the profession and went, well, not the profession. I left public accounting and I went to banking and we moved to South Dakota. So all changes all at the same time. Came to bank, knew nothing about banking, but I was a CPA. So I convinced the CFO in my interviews that they needed a CPA on the team and he agreed. And so so we moved to South Dakota and I started that and I worked in business and industry for 6 years. And during that course, I still felt really passionate about the profession and the need to work on business models and culture and innovation. So I started my own consulting practice on the side and started working with CPA firms on things around culture and implicit bias and purpose alignment. And that was a really fun time for me. Collaborated with some other consultants, did a lot of work with them. It was really, really fun while I was doing my bank work. And 2 years ago, the CEO of my current firm is also a really good friend and have known him for 5 or 6 years. He's a mentor. We were having conversations and he said, would you come back into public accounting? Would you come to a firm? And I said, no, well, this is my dream job. And he was like, well, I think we can do that. And so collaborated with him and the leadership at the firm, and they developed a job role called Chief Transformation Officer. And here I am. So it was a windy, twisty trail to get to where I am now, still working in the profession, but in the way that I wanted to 7 years ago. So it took me 7 years to get from compliance to what I wanted to do, but we got there.
Wow, it's such a journey.
Yeah, yep. It's a long, windy one.
So you mentioned that CPA exam. When did you study for CPA exam, and did you have any problems studying and passing it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I can't even tell you now. I haven't kept track of how many times I took it. I'm trying to think of like years of when this would have happened, but I started it as soon as I graduated from college or maybe a couple of years after. Passed two, they lapsed, then passed three, then they lapsed. And then I started the journey again, and I got pregnant with my third son. And so I told my husband, I said, oh gosh, if I don't finish this before this kid is born, I'm not sure I'm ever going to get my license. So I was in my last section. I took it the day that my first section would expire if I didn't pass. And I was 8 months pregnant and puking in a garbage can, like during the test. So it was so traumatic. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. But, you know, the CPA gods were smiling upon me, and I was able to pass the exam. So that's, I got licensed after a lot of tries and fails.
So how long from the first time you took it and failed it to the time that you passed all four sections?
So I probably started taking it in 2008, and I passed the exams in 2012. So a little over 4 years, and then got my license at the beginning of 2013. Yeah.
What keep you motivated in those 4 years to not give up?
I think part of it is just knowing that I could do it. I just, you know, life gets in the way. So for the people that, you know, log into your show and watch these videos and listen to the podcast, life is messy and it is really hard. Stuff comes up that you don't plan for, and we hold ourselves to this crazy standard to always figure it out and get through it and deliver on what we said we were going to do, which are important things and they're lofty goals. But the reality is that life is hard and messy, and when it happens, you just have to be okay with that and then stand back up and try again. And I think that was kind of the thought process, was just, I really wanted to be a CPA. That was a really big deal to me. And to go through all the work to get my accounting degree and to work in public accounting for all those years and, you know, go through kids and divorce and remarriage and all the stuff that was happening in my life, it just felt like I really wanted to be able to say, I did this. And it was okay if it took me 5 years, because I could still say I did this. And I'll tell you, other than podcasts and videos, no one professionally ever asks me, how long did it take you to get your CPA? They just say, oh, you're a CPA. So I feel like it was worth it to just keep pushing, keep going. I think firms now, when I was younger in the profession, I think firms didn't offer as many opportunities to support new CPAs in their endeavors. I think more firms now create space for studying, help make sure that you have access to good materials, give you time off to sit for the exams. I think they set you up for success much more than it used to be, which is really exciting to see within the profession. So it's really just that drive to, like, you did all this hard work, you know, you've done so much, you're so smart. You just gotta push until you get there. You'll get there.
Wow. Lindsay, you went through a lot of challenges in your life, not just in career, but also in your personal life as well. It's just out of curiosity, are there any moments that you feel like this is too much and you just want to sit down and cry and then just have to and push yourself up again? Can you share with us those moments?
Oh my gosh. I mean, there's so many realistically. I think the biggest thing is finding the opportunities to be realistic with yourself. Sometimes we set goals for ourselves that really need to change as we grow and develop, and so recognizing that is really hard. So I will share with you when COVID hit, right? So I was at the bank and I was doing my consulting thing on the side, and I was really pre-COVID thinking about full consulting, taking the leap, really going all in on that, and getting out there, because I got a ton of energy from it. I felt like the needle was moving with the firms I was working for, and that was really exciting. And then COVID hit, right? And everybody stopped traveling and we moved to like a virtual delivery platform. And full disclosure, it was not as fulfilling for me. I didn't love the virtual delivery. Was it possible? Yes. Could we be successful? Of course. Did I get the same energy that I was getting when I was in person and really connecting with people? I wasn't. And so then I had a like straight breakdown. I reached out to some people in the industry that people might know. So I don't want to name them because they were so kind to me, but and really just cried my eyes out. And the problem that I was having was that I had set this goal that I was going to go out on my own, and I was really going to make waves in the profession. And I was worried that the people that knew that was my aspiration, if I didn't deliver, would be disappointed and that somehow that would make me a failure. And I struggled with that a lot, not knowing like what I was going to do with myself and how I was going to move past that. So I think the biggest lesson learned from that was, one, sitting in those emotions and being okay with it. Like, it's okay to feel really crummy and to be like, I'm disappointed and I'm frustrated and I'm not sure what to do next. That was important to go through that. And then the second is having people that are your sort of board of trustees, the people that you can really connect with and be like, I'm struggling. This is hard. Where do I move from here? This is how I'm feeling. What would you do if you were me? And that trust that you have in them and the belief they have in you is really what pushes you, you know, to kind of pull your head up and say, okay, wipe the tears away. Life isn't going down the tubes. I have opportunities. I can do really fun things. So what would that look like? And I've been blessed to have some of the most incredible people in the profession as people that I can reach out to and get their insights and their support. And that really made a difference.
You mentioned about making wave in the profession. I can feel your passion to make some change in this accounting profession. It's not just only your job, it's your career, it's your passion. Why is so strong in you? Because at the beginning you mentioned before in college, you did not plan to go in with accounting at the very beginning. And then after over time, all of a sudden you just so passionate about that. Something about accounting that changed you so much? What is that?
Well, I think it's twofold. So one was, you know, accounting offered me opportunities that really, honestly, I wasn't sure I would ever get to take because I was a young mom and I was uneducated and I wasn't sure I was ever going to be able to say I feel successful because my life was not going the way that I had originally planned it to go. And so what accounting offered me was a real opportunity to build a successful career and be a mom and be a wife and be the other things that I wanted to be. And once that really dawned on me, I felt like, gosh, the foundation is there, right? The framework in this profession is there to really be a home for people who need flexibility, who need, you know, some way to carve their own path as they go. It's such a cool opportunity. But there's a lot of things that we do in the profession and have done for years and years and years that are not aligned with that and make it difficult for people to stay in the profession. And those are the things that I believe every CPA, every accountant would tell you, yeah, that's like one thing that I would want to change. That's one thing that I'd want to make better. And so those things become sort of my passion of like, man, there's so many young men and women out there whose lives did not go according to plan and they hit 18 or 19 years old and they're like, what can I do? I'm not sure what I can do because the things I thought I was going to be able to do are not opportunities for me anymore. And accounting can do that. Like it can meet those people in that place and say, hey, there's a lot of options here. It's not one size fits all. It's not one path. It's not one end game. It's like a choose your own adventure book. And I don't, maybe you're probably too young for this, but there used to be these books that you would open, right? And you would read through to a certain page and then you get to choose. It would say, if you want to jump off this bridge, go to page 10. If you want to climb down the ravine, go to page 32. And you would keep reading the story that way. And every time you read it would be different based on the choices that you made. That's what I see the accounting profession as. Like it is this choose your own adventure book that you really can't ever go wrong. You're just on a new adventure path. So it's really cool. So gets me excited, obviously.
Yes, I can tell you're so excited. And talking about ventures, I noticed one thing that when you work in public, you work at in tax at the beginning because you do not want to travel. And then all of a sudden you want to change your venture to go to audit. And then it requires a lot of traveling. What made you change?
I mean, I think part of it was the challenge. I felt like with tax, at least for me at that point in time, I didn't feel like I was learning enough fast enough. Like there wasn't any more. I mean, there's always something to learn in tax. Do not get me wrong. I'm sure anyone who watches this will be like, are you crazy? Tax law changes every day. But back then I felt kind of like stuck. I was just doing the same stuff over and over again. And I knew I wanted to stay in public accounting. And so I thought, well, I've never done an audit. I should maybe learn how to do audit. And I mean, I learned it in school, but never actually applied it to anything. So that was part of it. The other part was by that point in time, you know, even so I'm trying to think this would have been, you know, 2010, 11, 12, like somewhere in there. Even back then, we were starting to shift to a more virtual hybrid type environment. So there were still times to be out on audit engagements and to have to travel, but there were also a lot of opportunities to be working remotely and still, you know, be with the team and be able to communicate with the team. The ability to connect virtually was shifting at that point in time. So I still traveled, but I don't think I traveled as much as I would have 10 years before that, you know, in audit. So it was the opportunity piece. And then the other part was I thought I could make it work with our life.
So I'm the one who changed from audit to tax. And I was in audit. I was in private first for several years. And then I was in audit and I didn't feel like I was satisfied with the learning speed. I feel I want to learn more and audit doesn't seem to make me feel satisfied with that learning speed. So I moved to tax and I really like it. And so I think I disagree with you.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, I think that just exemplifies exactly what we were just talking about with the choose your own adventure, right? Like you could choose at any point, hey, I'm not feeling satisfied with this for whatever reason, right? It's always a personal thing, but for whatever reason. And then there's 15 different opportunities that you could pick from to shift and refocus and you're still in the profession and you're still an accountant and you're still a CPA. Like that is so cool. I don't know that there's a whole lot of professions out there where you can be that far down the career path and say, I'd like to try this thing over here without having to go back to school or without having to justify that you're completely changing your career trajectory. It's almost like assumed that we're going to shift gears at some point as an accountant and it's like nurtured, which is really cool.
I absolutely agree with you about that. And I feel like it doesn't matter where you work in accounting, it's always support your career in the future. Like I was in private, it support me when I changed to audit. Because I was auditing private work that I worked on before. So I knew what I was looking for, what I was searching for. And then when I changed from audit to tax, my audit skills actually very helpful for me to do tax because I can just pretty much audit my own work to make sure that I don't skip like some small mistake, something like that. So it doesn't matter where you go in accounting professions, it's always help you for the future long run in your career.